What's up, guys? Good morning. It is, once again, December something something. I don't know what today is. Let's see what today is. Can I scroll down real quick? December 11th. December 11th. If you're crunching the numbers, we got like four more months of winter left. That's it, man. That's light work. That's short time. We're almost there. We're almost out of this thing that's just begun. Right? 14 days till Christmas. All that good jazz. Few days after that, New Year's, gotta start working out. This is when you have to get on the whole summer body thing right after the holidays, because you know we all fuck up for the holidays, right? It happens. It's just what it is. But don't wait that long. I used to wait till like May, start working out, get in good shape. Soon as Christmas is over and I get that big old Christmas dinner, I stuff that in my face the next day. I'm going back to it. Ketogenic, control those portions, intermittent fasting, get some cardio in there, start doing some light weights, some calisthenics, and just keep that flow going for a long time. Eat your leafy greens, drink a lot of water, you know, stay away from all that extra crap. You don't need carbs, you don't need sweets. Just get back on the bike, keep going. Before you know it, you know, a lot of that weight is superficial. If you really stick to it, that stuff's gone pretty quick. And then after a few months, you've got that weight off, and then some. And then you can start sculpting, baby. You can start sculpting. You can start bringing it all together. You start looking sharp. And then when the summer rolls around, start dehydrating yourself. Yeah. Let that definition show. Get ripped. No, I don't. I wouldn't recommend that last part. Anyway, speaking of working out, my guest today is Eric Leja, a.k.a. Primal Swolger on Instagram, primal.swolger, and he is the kettlebell instructor, amongst other things, at the Onnit Gym in Austin, Texas. Excuse me, blah, blah, blah. It was a great episode. I've been watching him for years, man. Shredded as hell. If you watch his videos, his kettlebell workout videos on Instagram, man, they'll make you feel like shit. That dude is ripped. Ripped. We talked a little bit about how, you know, the idea of working out has changed so much since the 80s, back in the day when it was all about Arnold and the pump. You know, you watch Ronnie Coleman on Netflix and he's walking around with crutches going to the goddamn gym. The dude is disheveled and just falling apart. And now it seems like we're moving more to this functional, long-term maintenance kind of working out. And the popularity of kettlebells is through the roof. I told Eric that when I think of kettlebells, I think first of Rogan, I think him second. You know, those are the two dudes when it comes to kettlebells. So, you know, like I said, he's number one, he's a busy guy. And we've been trying to throw this together for about 2 weeks now, so I'm glad that it happened. And, you know, I'm very thankful for him taking the time out of his schedule to make it happen and to sit down and talk to me. It was a short one, but the guy has a lot of shit going on. And it was an honor to have talked to him at all. If you would have told me a couple years ago that I'd be sitting down speaking with him on a podcast, I wouldn't have believed that. I would have said, that's silly. It would take a long time to get to talk to that guy. But no, he's a gentleman and was sweet enough to do this with me. I do want to say, So, this is episode 30 for me, and I was really excited to speak to him and to make this mile marker. You know, I've kind of been sprinting with this podcast. I tend to think I do a little bit. I stack my shows. You know, if I'm not going to be great at the technical side of things, I could at least hustle in that regard, you know, reaching out to guests and setting it up and making the time and doing the podcast. And this one was bittersweet because I had a lot of technical difficulties and nobody wants to hear that. You know, usually if I have some technical difficulties, you won't hear about it. You'll listen to the episode and you won't know that it's coming because I won't tell you that it's coming. You know, I made a mental note of it. It upset me that Skype dropped out for a moment or whatever. And that shit happens. If you're a fan of mine and you listen to these episodes, you're aware of it. But I do want to talk about this one because I think it's important. This morning I was talking to Nathan Baird and of Drawn from the Mind, and I mentioned to him that I wasn't sure if I was going to release this episode. And then very quickly I realized that that's foolish and it's a bitch move to do that, because this podcast is my work, and of course I want to put forward the best product that I can with the resources that I have available. But to hide my failures from you guys it's dishonest. It's not an accurate representation of what this thing is. This thing is a learning process, and I think that, I mean, it really tore me up. You know, what happened was, and you guys will find out when you listen to this episode, that Skype just kept dropping out. And I asked him at one point if he was moving around. He said no, he was sitting still. So it was just a poor connection. And I don't know that there's anything I could have done differently, but part of me wanted to actually stop the show and ask him if we could try to do it again at a later time. But to me, it was such a big deal to have him on. I've been a fan of his for a long time. I know he's a busy guy. I know it was really kind of him to take the time to do this show with me. And I knew that it took me a while to set this up, and I kept saying to myself, you don't know if you're going to get this opportunity again. And sometimes if Skype drops out, you just keep pushing forward. You kind of use the context of the conversation to piece together what you missed when the Skype drops out. It's usually only for a brief moment. And so I said, you know, let's just keep marching forward and it'll get better. And it did get better. Later on in the episode, it was 100% better. I think that I unfortunately didn't perform as well as a host as I would have liked to, because my mind was so scattered because of what was going on with Skype dropping in and out and the poor connection. But either way, what I'm really trying to say is I told myself that I don't edit because it's got to be real. And I don't want to put forward some polished product, you know, polished to an extent. I'd like to clean up, you know, the audio and things like that. But I wouldn't want to have a false representation of what actually the conversation was like. And so I want to include it all. I want to include it all. And that also includes my shortcomings and when I mess up. So this one has to go out too. And it's a little bittersweet, but it's episode number 30. It's a mile marker for me. The guest is great. I've been, you know, watching him, admiring him for a long time. It was beautiful that he sat down and did this to me. It's a huge deal for me. And I am upset that it got messed up, but all you can do is put it out and move forward. And so to anybody out there that wants to start a podcast, you know, if you like my show, thank you. But also listen to this episode, because it's not my best work. And I think it's important to see that it's not an easy thing and things don't always go off the way that you plan, and that that's okay. You learn from whatever happened, you adjust and you move forward. So thank you to Eric Leha for stopping and doing this episode with me. And it does get better. It's to no fault of anybody but my own for not having a plan in effect for if this sort of thing should happen. So in the future, I won't make the same mistake. But I hope you could enjoy the episode for what it is. And like I said, it's I stand by my work. The good stuff, I'll proudly stand by, and I'll stand by the bad things as an example. So, thank you guys so much for listening. You can find me on iTunes, you can find me on YouTube, you can find me on Spotify, a bunch of other places, CastBox and all those, just under Where I Belong. You can find me on Instagram at Where I Belong Podcast, Twitter at Where I Belong P, Facebook at Where I Belong, and, you know, leave a rating, leave a review, leave a, you know, subscribe if you feel so inclined. If you like the show, say something, because any sort of positive reinforcement is just, you know, to know that anybody likes it, it means the world. So thank you guys so much for listening, and you know, please give it up for Eric Leha, also known as Primal Swolger from Instagram.
All right, in 3, 2, 1, Eric, we are live. What's going on, brother?
What's up, David? I'm chilling, man. Just got off of work, hanging out.
How's life out there in Austin, Texas?
It's good, man. It's colder than it should be, but it's cool.
Why? What are you guys looking at?
Austin's a badass. Nah, it's like 40s, 50s around here.
Really? Man, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. I've been talking to people from I've had a couple of guests from California, Southern California. They've been telling me the same thing, like 50, 55, 60 degrees.
Yeah.
What's going on, man? I thought it was supposed to be paradise over there. I'm over in Jersey, and we're dealing with, like, I don't know, 20 or something miserable.
Yeah, it sucks. I couldn't imagine being over there.
Have you always been out in Texas?
Yeah, I grew up here in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're born and raised. Yeah.
Yep.
The wife and I were kicking around all these ideas of where to move, and you know, it's like either Southern California or Austin, Texas seems like the place to be. But as far as cost goes, Austin, Texas just blows it out of the water.
No, yeah, Austin's super affordable. It's up and coming. There's so many cool things always going on. It's awesome, man. I love living here.
So you're the kettlebell coach over at Onnit Labs or Onnit Academy.
Yeah, I'm a coach, and that's just my specialty. I'll teach more than just kettlebells.
Can you
teach the kettlebell certifications?
Can you explain to my guests what Onnit is and what exactly it is that you do there, or my fans rather, not my guests. Hello.
Yeah, so Onnit is a total human optimization company. So we sell supplements, food, workout equipment, and we offer training certifications on how to use our kettlebells, and mobility and durability training that we like to specialize in, like most people want. But yeah, we offer everything under the spectrum to help people optimize their lives, you know. So it's pretty cool working for Onnit.
How long have you been with them?
I've been with Onnit for over 6 years now. Yeah, I started working right out of college. I dropped out of school. I was like right out of high school, I guess. I went to school, went to college for like a semester, and I just dropped out. I hated school, so I luckily got a job at Onnit, which I was like, I just had a really hard time when I was in school making friends and stuff. I actually ended up hitting it off a lot better with employees that worked at Onnit. They were a lot more like-minded and cool people to hang out with. They were older than me, but it was fun hanging out with them. So I was like, you know what? Fuck school, I'm just gonna come work in the warehouse. You know, like I'll take a job in the warehouse and be at school all day, you know. So I was working in the warehouse for a long time, packing supplements and then shipping out kettlebells to people. But I stuck it out, you know, just because it was a cool community. I was in the warehouse for about 2 years before we decided to open up a gym. Advertise our supplements and fitness equipment in the gym, but also develop an education system to teach people how to use the tools that we were selling since they were so new and a lot of people didn't really know how to use them. So we wanted to capitalize on that. And my boss, my CEO, Aubrey Marcus, came up to me and said, hey, man, you've always been fit and, you know, you're really into MMA. And I think you can really hit it off with the MMA community that we have already. So you should, you want to become a trainer? And I was like, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Count me in. So I got started teaching one-on-ones and teaching a bunch of classes to gain some experience and just learn on the job. You know, I just got really good really fast by putting in all the work and a lot of hours. And now I'm here, you know.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you by any chance moving around over there? Because the connection's getting a little screwy on us.
No, I'm not. I'm changed.
It's just sometimes the connection acts up. What was I going to ask you? Onnit hasn't even really been. I mean, how long has Onnit been around? For you to have been there for 6 years, you were there pretty early, as far as Onnit goes. No,
I think 2010. Since 2010.
So you were on that shit pretty early.
About a year and a half, 2 years old, jumped in.
All right.
Yeah, I was employee like number 5, 3, 6, and like over 200 employees now.
Oh wow! So you were one of the early crazy guys.
Yeah, I think now after everybody's been has either left the company or been fired, but still here.
There you go. When did you start doing these?
That's pretty cool.
When did you start doing these kettlebell videos on Instagram?
About 3 years ago, two or three years ago, I started becoming, I'm throwing my combos up online. I remember my managing team, my boss, hey, man, you really do yourself online, and you know, you should do it on social media, get Instagram. And I was like, man, I hate social media. It's so dumb. Everybody's trying to get attention and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, they're trying to get attention so they can, you know, start a business, build a brand. You know, it's important to put yourself out there. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And so I got online and I was like, man, what's the dumbest thing that I could think of? It's the silliest thing. And I was like, Primal. We were doing a lot of Primal products at the time.
Right.
Like Primal kettlebells and, you know, really embracing that Primal lifestyle. You know, so I'll do Primal and then I want to get swole, teach you how to get swole. I'll swole with you. That sounds pretty cool.
That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're taking that up to the creative team. Like, hey, guys, guess what I came up with? And everybody's laughing at me.
That's funny. Was funny. You know, it's gotten to the point now where if I think of kettlebells, I directly associate it's either Joe Rogan and then my second thought is you at this point. I mean, I've been watching your page for probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years from my personal page. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where, number one, the frequency that you post with, it's I see you all the time. And also being with Onnit is synonymous with Rogan, is synonymous. It's really you and him. Like, I don't know if you're aware of that, but when I think of kettlebells and kettlebell workouts, I have two kettlebells. I have a 35 pounder and I have it's like a 50 pounder, but it's got removable plates, which is not the most comfortable because the plates clank and it's an odd shape. But I have referred to your videos on a number of occasions for all the different kind of kettlebell flows that you have going on. So in my mind, it's really you and Rogan are the biggest, proponents of kettlebells at this point.
Awesome. That's cool, man. I try to, you know, constantly like put myself out there and post up. Keep growing on stuff.
Was there
fun.
I was going to say, when you were working in the warehouse and you said that Aubrey came up to you and he said that you've always been fit and that, you know, you were into MMA and you think that would, you know, that you would resonate with that community. Was there ever a point in your life where you were overweight and out of shape?
Yeah, when I was younger, I was a little chubby kid. I liked to play video games and eat fast food all the time. And I wasn't really active. That was like in middle school. And my brother and my sister, they used to make fun of me all the time for being chubby. They thought, you're never going to have a girlfriend. You're so fat. You're already going to go to high school. You haven't even kissed a girl. You know, talking a bunch of crap. And so I was like, man, whatever, fine. I'll put down the video games and I'll start running and I'll start lifting. And so I picked up one of my brother's encyclopedia of bodybuilding books. It's like big old fat book with Arnold Schwarzenegger on the cover.
Nice.
I started reading through it and, you know, get some basic workouts and finally got in shape by the time I was in middle school, like late middle school, got into middle school football. But I decided I didn't like that. It was just wasn't my thing. Like, I was good at it, but I wanted to do something more just cooler. You know, I was really into martial arts and watching UFC back in the day. So, you know, like those guys, I'm going to start training martial arts.
It's
Jiu Jitsu. I just kind of bit dabbled in that throughout the years, and it's been great. And so that kind of helped me open my eyes to functional training and functional type training to that really translated over well to sports, because I was realizing that my bodybuilding workouts weren't making me any better. You know, they weren't translating well to my sparring or my combat, my matches. And so I really started taking on using kettlebells and battle ropes even back in the day when I was younger. So when I picked up kettlebells more seriously, as I became a coach, you know, it was really natural to me. And I just kind of wanted to put these different movements together that felt like I was, you know, changing levels and changing direction and really exploring four different ranges of motion that kind of felt like I was like dancing or fighting or whatever, you know, just have fun with it. It's interesting in my training. And also do the things that work, but I like to mix in things that are fun and exciting just to keep my sessions interesting so I can keep coming back to the gym, keep wanting to keep getting after it, you know.
Do you still practice any sort of martial arts?
No, not recently. It's been probably like a year since I did some sessions in jiu-jitsu. Just been so busy with my own business now and working at the gym. I just haven't put up enough time into getting back in the gym. But I'll be this coming up summer, get back to some martial arts training. So it just makes it easier for my fitness. You know, it helps me stay in really good shape. Doing martial arts, you know.
I see that you're actually offering an online course, a kettlebell course.
Yeah, so I offer a kettlebell course, which is basically the kettlebell certification that I teach through on it with my own style added to it. So my favorite moves and my favorite combinations, flows and complexes. It's basically, you know, it's like it teaches you all the fundamental movements of all the different squatting patterns I like to use, the different hinges, different moves for pressing, pushing, and pulling, and rowing, and also how to do the kettlebell snatch and the kettlebell clean properly. So it's just helps people really refine their kettlebell technique all online. I have like 150 videos with detailed instructions. And even how to warm up and cool down, some of my favorite mobility drills, so people can warm up and cool down properly and not get hurt. Because that's one of my biggest things, is teaching people how to stay mobile so they can keep training. You know, I don't want people just to smash themselves into the ground every session and get hurt, you know, on the way. I want them to keep coming back for more and keep getting after it. So I want to make sure my clients and myself, I stay healthy.
Right. That's I know as somebody who I was out of shape for the longest time, and it took getting my diet straightened and getting into the gym, doing boxing and you know, cardio and things of that nature for me to finally get in shape. But as somebody who wasn't always into it, I didn't take the proper precautions, and I've ended up, you know, hurting myself in little ways that just haven't gone away for years now. And I think it's, you know, people are pretty gung-ho to just get in there and start slamming weights around, and you don't realize, like, especially as you're getting older, it's the stupid stuff too that'll end up hurting you. Just you know, improper technique will end up leaving you with something that, you know, either is going to take a long time to go away, or it might stick with you for a long time down the road.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's one of the biggest ways people get hurt. You know, they're just doing the wrong technique for a long time, and you can get away with it for a while, and the next thing you know, you either hurt yourself or you develop, like that chronic pain. I have a couple of issues with myself that all I can do now is really just make them feel a little bit better. You know, it's really to go back to 100%, but you know, I've been able to do that by really switching up my from training hard every single day to training hard every now and really just focusing on quality and a lot of recovery and decompression to mobilize and stay healthy.
When you started this page with on it, I mean, you've got a substantial amount of, I mean, I think last time I checked, it was like you're creeping up on 300,000 followers. And I mean, that's 300,000 people that are into kettlebells like that. I mean, have you kind of been blown away sitting back and watching the way that the culture has shifted as far as the culture of working out goes and how bells have become a part of like the average person's vernacular over the past few years? Whereas a few years ago, I wasn't even really aware of them as a tool. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it's kind of like the, I don't want to say the newest thing, right? Because they've been around for a while and they started to come back to the States around the late 90s. And then, like I said, with Rogan helping to popularize them. But now it's like, it's common. It's what you should be doing. You know what I mean? It's changed the language of working out in the gym to the point where kettlebells are common vernacular. They're mentioned, you know, in the first three things when you're mentioning working out.
Yeah, man, that's been great. You know, watching my stuff grow that way, and also watching the community become just more aware of the benefits of the tool. You know, there's like, it's been cool, you know, seeing people like myself, JT and Fit, Michael Vasquez, Marcus Philly, and all those guys online on Instagram, social media, like really just showing everybody all the different benefits and like ways you can use kettlebells and all these other tools as well to, you know, get a good workout in, but also explore new ranges and different positions to keep your body healthy by moving in all directions and just showing you how to get bigger, stronger, faster with new tools, different tools that, like you said, they've been around for a long time. We're bringing light to the ways you can use them a lot more effectively. And you know, I love kettlebells because they're so versatile, man. It's like it's just a weight with a handle on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just up to your creativity and your knowledge on how you can really just mix it up and use it for whatever you want. You know, all you got to do is have the right programming, and you can get anything done with this weight. You know, it's just, you know, just find a good coach, find some inspiration. You know, build a strong foundation, a fundamental movement, so you can protect yourself and not get hurt, and then you can have fun, mix it up, and find out for yourself what you're capable of.
That's the thing that really struck me about kettlebells, was like how much more fun they were as opposed to just,
yeah, man,
it's
so much fun.
Cause you know, regular weights, I mean, there's, you know, there's a place for everything, but the monotony of just a standard bar with weights on it really would, I'd find myself giving up because of boredom. You know, doing the same routine all the time or the same routines.
So boring doing the same stuff all the time.
But kettlebells is like, there's so much versatility. There's so many funky things that you could do with them. And, you know, especially with the fluidity of motion. And if you've got music on in the background, it's almost like this, almost like a fluid dance with weights.
Hell yeah. And I love dancing, man. I love going out, hanging out with my girlfriend and, you know, getting my jiggy on, you know. So if I can do that in the gym too, just have a good time, even better, you know.
You're so actually, your girlfriend is her name Francesca?
Yeah, Francesca.
What she does with there's no weights, it's all body weights, it's all balance and fluid motion. And it's so crazy because if you look at, I mean, she's using no weights, man. And if you are somebody who's not working out at all and you look at that and you think that you could do that, I fucking dare you, man, because that will beat the shit out of you. Just trying to manipulate your own weight and maintain your own balance and move fluidly in these kind of compromised positions is so hard. It's so hard, man. And I don't – that she's another one where I didn't – I honestly didn't see – and it's not like I'm balls deep in the workout world, but I didn't see that until I saw her doing that.
Yeah, man, it's still like up-and-coming movement practice as well, the animal flow stuff and that primal type of training. So it's been super cool seeing, you know, people really lead the way around here in the community, teaching people and exposing them to that kind of stuff because it's so, so good for you. It's just like exploring these different positions that, you know, we should be able to move in. But because we live such like sedentary lifestyles, you know, whether we have like a desk job where we just work sitting down all day, or we drive around all day, like either we're making deliveries or truck drivers or, you know, anything where we're not able to like really move around, and we start developing a kyphotic posture, our shoulders get rounded, our backs start hurting from tight hips. So it's super cool to like bring in a client who thinks strong and then put them through a bodyweight workout where they're having to control just their body weight and they start sweating and having a harder workout than when they're lifting weights, you know?
Right, right.
Eye-opening.
Yeah, that is that's one of those things. Like yoga will kick the shit out of you and you're silly if you think it's just a bunch of poses. You know what I mean? It's
oh, yeah, man.
Yoga will destroy you.
Yoga can be tough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
What is at this point, what is your diet looking like? Because I imagine
right now I'm pretty relaxed. You know, I still try not to eat terrible, but it's the holidays and I like to lift more, like, you know, try to put on some size and while still doing my mobility and stuff, make sure I don't, you know, get into pain or start hurting anywhere on my joints. So I still try to eat all the right nutrients, like, I supplement with some natural products that we saw on it. I take collagen protein for my joints, and I make sure I eat tons of green leafy vegetables, but I also increase the calories around this time of year for at least 2 to 3 months. It's kind of, you know, because during the summer, I kind of really fast a lot. I try to get as shredded as I can so I can shoot cool videos and,
yeah,
you know, for my program that I'm going to release. So that's when I'm kind of like a little debilitated, a little tired and cranky. So during the holidays, I give myself 2 or 3 months to really bulk up and just have a good time and kind of reset myself, you know?
Yeah, you know.
So right now I'm kind of eating whatever, eating throughout the day. And
yeah, I think I'm one of those guys that I need to work out a lot to keep the weight off during the winter because I mean, my diet is super simple at all times until the holidays come around. You know, I cut out carbs and all that other stuff. And, you know, like,
yeah.
I work with a guy that he could eat whatever the hell he wants. You know, those people, he just stuff whatever the hell they want in their face. And he's always, and he does some calisthenics. I think he's like, yeah, man, I do some push-ups and stuff like every day. Nothing too crazy. Yeah. And he's always shredded.
Yeah, you were just genetically blessed, man.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
But I'm not that way at all, man. If I don't work out, then yeah, I'll get kind of like chubby too.
I get
so if I make sure I eat the right foods, and you know, eat sweets every now and then, I'm usually pretty fine, you know. But if I overdo it and I don't do any type of physical exercise, then yeah, I kind of start looking kind of whack. So I try to keep that in check too.
To me, it seems like you're just a furnace. Like the amount that you're working out, you should be able to dump. You know, you should be able to get away with, you know, a little bit and be pretty much unnoticed. I mean, you'll notice, right? Because you see yourself every day, but the average person passing by has no idea.
Yeah. No, I can like tell the difference between my tip top shape and, you know, just chilling, you know, but it's not a big difference. But you know, I like to be the best I can be. But like I said, I do it in phases, so I have my time where I'm just chilling and not really worried about it, just kind of enjoying the working, the training, and laying back and enjoying the holidays. Keeps me healthy, keeps me focused so that I really crush it, you know, 75% of the year, and and get to just kind of chill out for a few months out of the year.
It's crazy how much things have changed too from, you know, kind of the old Arnold days where it was all about size. It was all about getting the most weight you could possibly do. And we've seen what happens to those dudes, you know, Ronnie Coleman? Is that his name? Who just had the Netflix documentary release where the poor guy is, you know, in crutches, basically. It's like a type of crutch, and the doctors are telling him he should be in a wheelchair, and he's got such a strong will that he's in the crutches instead, and he's still going to the gym, but he's completely disheveled. And it's like that we had no idea about longevity, like in the 80s. And now things have come such a far way where it's like, I see the style of workout that you do as being something that's like constant maintenance, you know, where you're trying to maintain mobility and strength and balance and all these different things. And it's not about getting huge and lifting the most weight as possible. It's about all these stabilizing muscles. It's you know, it's about flexibility and all of these different things. Where to me that really speaks to the long run.
And making sure, you know, paying attention to all the things that make up, you know, our bodies so we can last long and keep performing for a long time. You know, I don't want to just do this for a short time and then feel like I just kind of be disheveled when I'm later on and just be debilitated. You know, I want to be able to be strong and healthy for as long as I can so I can keep doing what I like.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh, you're 25. Okay. Oh yeah. So you're going to be, I mean, what do you have? I mean, like for example, my father, he's in his early 50s, and I don't know what it is, but genetically he's just fine. He's light and he's thin. And, you know, I remember one year he came over my house and he puts his palms on the arms of the chair and he kind of rotates and goes into a handstand at like 50 years old. He goes into a handstand. Wow. Dude, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think he used to do gymnastics and everything, which is another one of those things where to me it was like, if you look at my dad, he's a smaller guy. He's thin. He was never into like lifting super heavy. He does a lot of chin-ups and things like that. And when he was younger, he was into gymnastics. And that, you know, he didn't destroy himself. He didn't go down that path that a lot of people do where your back is destroyed, your knees are destroyed, you know, all these different things. It was kind of, he was almost ahead of the curve.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, usually it comes from, you know, like you said, being in a dope sport with badass coaches like gymnastics or, you know, any type of environment where you're surrounded with people who are interested in not just using and abusing you, but helping you stay healthy. So it's super important to find a great coach.
So you've gotten to do kettlebell workouts with Aubrey Marcus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, we've been friends for like a long time. I met him through my brother. My brother was good friends with him. We used to actually go to his garage and train martial arts bar together when I was like 15.
Wow.
Shit, like 10 years ago now.
Wow.
So I've been
like, yeah, that guy seems to be one of those.
He grew up in Austin too.
He's one of those dudes with a vision. You know, he's got a. He's got a lot of drive in him. It's, you know, when you meet those people, I imagine like when you meet Aubrey, he seems like a cool guy, but he also seems like a guy that knows what he fucking wants to do. And that kind of, when you're
He'll kind of have fun too. You know, he's not just a fucking like stoic or like a fucking Buddhist monk chilling. Like he still wants to enjoy the fruits of the life and push his body and have fun too. You know, he's not just trying to have all this knowledge and just hold it in for himself or just preach a bunch of stuff. He also wants to live it and, you know, be a well-rounded person.
When
you use his body and his life to its fullest potential.
Being at Onnit, I mean, you know, you went from being in the warehouse and now Onnit is, you know, the Onnit. And I'm sure, I mean, you had to have shared space and worked out next to just some of the coolest people, especially if you're you're into like mixed martial arts.
Like growing up, I was super into martial arts, MMA, UFC. I used to look up to those like champions. I was like, man, I want to be just like those guys. Next thing you know, I'm working in the gym and I get to train these guys, do our workouts, teach them how to use kettlebells, and, you know, get to hang out with some of the coolest people, go to Vegas, go to UFC fight, sick cage side with fucking TJ Dillashaw.
Oh, man.
And, like, got to meet all my favorite people, favorite coaches, and I was just blown away, man. And I still am, you know. I'm so fortunate enough to hang out with these guys and make friends with everybody. It just taught me to really just be humble and cool, man. And just, all these guys are just normal people. Everybody's super cool, and they're just driven, and they have the power of belief, and they believe in themselves, and they don't act like dickheads, and everybody's just super cool, man. And it's taught me to really keep my cool and be nice to everybody, because, you know, everybody can help you out. Everybody's got something to offer, and if you act like a dick and you close yourself off from some people, even if you're just having a bad mood or bad day, you know, so try to run around with a smile on your face, because you never know what kind of opportunity will present itself, and you want to be open to that by being in the most positive space you can.
Right. It's crazy too, because unlike being at another gym, on it is, especially right now, it's where some of the most elite athletes in the world are going. And that, so you're working out with them.
Yeah, it's super motivating, man, because we're a public gym. So all our members love it, man, because they get to see all these football stars come in, and they work out next to UFC fighters and NFL players, and it makes the whole community kind of really keep growing, and it makes it really positive. Some people are like, oh, that's so scary. I don't want to work out to a football player. I want to be motivated because they're so good and I'm so new. But it's the opposite, man. It really gives, it motivates people. It motivates the average lifter. It motivates me. And we motivate the football players because they just let me surrounded by positivity. So it's just an endless feedback loop of positivity. So we all keep growing, wanting to be our best. And it's awesome, man. I love being part of this community.
Have you, I mean, who would you have to say kind of provoked that fanboy response in you the most?
I would have to say, who was it? Yeah, the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he showed up. He was here for a premiere or something here in Austin, and he showed up with a buddy of ours, one of our athletes, and they worked out together. And I was freaking out, man. You know, one of my favorite.
Oh, that show's
the greatest. Holy shit! It's the mountain. We took a picture with him, and it was super cool.
How big is that dude in real life?
Everybody's been super cool. You know, I don't try to be a fanboy with anybody because I appreciate their space. You can connect with people and be their friend instead of their fan, and they appreciate that more than anything, I think.
How big is that guy in real life, though? I mean, just standing next to him.
He's huge. Way, he was like four times my size.
Biggest dude you ever stood next to?
Yes, that's the next to him. I mean, he was standing on the platform, so he had like two or three inches on me, so he made me look that much smaller, but he's huge, man.
Yeah, that guy's insane. I remember watching, remember that video where he's moving around with Connor?
Oh, yeah.
And Connor is nailing him, and it's funny because you could tell, like, he's smiling, but he wants to show restraint. But Connor's just, you know, he's just such a savage that he wants to test himself. He wants to, you know, he knows that he's a big guy and he can take it. So he's kind of laying into him a little bit.
Yeah.
It's such that video makes me uncomfortable just because it's like Connor's a killer. And this guy, the mountain, Thor Bjornsson, is just a kind of a once in a lifetime human being. And to watch these two move around, it's like, oh, man, that's. Those are two dudes that are on a whole nother level of human being.
Yeah, he's an animal, man. It was super dope getting to lift next to him. It was cool. He was doing like 700-pound deadlift while I was doing a little bit of bench press.
700-pound deadlift. Oh, my
yeah,
God. What a monster. Did you get to talk to him at all?
No, I just said hi and just told him I was a big fan and stuff. But not really get to talk to him. I don't want to bother him. He's in the middle of this lifting session.
I look at that.
And
dude.
So was I. I didn't want to detract from my own workout. You know, we're both just trying to get it in.
Yeah, I look at that dude and I go, yeah, he probably could like crush your skull with his thumbs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like that dude really could just get on top of you and just put all his weight on you, and your head would just start to slowly cave in.
Just crush your head,
man. That was probably the most, one of the most brutal scenes. That and the, remember the Red Wedding?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh.
There's always some crazy stuff going on in that show. I love it.
My wife was
pregnant. I'm kind of bummed out. It's going to be the last season, man.
I'm kind of bummed out they made us wait. They made us wait like a year and a half. What is it? It's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
Dude, I got to go back and rewatch everything.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I'm ready. I'm definitely ready to see it again. It's
You have to rewatch everything. I mean, I don't remember. I kind of remember like what was going on. I'm gonna have to do a whole refresher course and watch all the seasons.
Yeah,
again.
For sure. Yeah, I'll probably watch the first last couple seasons.
You know what?
Get caught up again.
I mentioned it. I think in another episode that I did where it's like, it sucks that it's ending, but it has to end because so many shows go on for too goddamn long until they suck. And it's,
yeah.
Oh man, I always go to The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead should have ended fucking season 4 or something like that. It went on for the longest.
Yeah,
I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, I stopped watching it. I got super bored of that. It's fucking whack.
Yeah, man, but that's it. Game of Thrones has to end. And you know what, man? I'm going to call it. Everybody's going to fucking die. Everybody's going to die. Nobody's making it through this. Something's going to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, like an asteroid's going to hit on the last episode. And you're going to go, what the fuck? All these years for an asteroid to hit. You know, that's
yeah, I'm
it,
just excited to see some badass dragon fight.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. That is
so cool.
April. I think it's coming back in April.
And if what's his name is still alive is the mountain, the hound. Is he still alive? He survived.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. He's like a nice guy. He turned over a new leaf because he got, I remember it was like some village people took
him
in.
Yeah, he got killed by Brienne of Tarth, right?
No, I don't think he got beat by her, but he never died.
Yeah, he got beat up and thrown down a hill and stuff, but he survived, right?
Yeah, man. That show is the greatest because they don't give a shit who you like. In fact, if you like them, they're going to die. You can't like anybody in that show. As soon as you start to do that, you go, son of a bitch, this person's going to die. I remember they were worried.
I guess the people that you don't like, they survive the longest.
Right. Like, what's his name? Theon Greyjoy? They cut his dick off.
Mountain. Yeah.
Yep, that guy's still alive.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see the Hound versus the Mountain.
Because they're brothers. They're brothers, right?
Yeah, but they hate each other because apparently the Mountain smashed him into the fireplace. And that's why his face is all fucked up.
Yeah, so that's going to happen. I mean, it's got to happen because they haven't had any interactions yet. That goddamn show, man. I remember when I don't give a shit about spoilers. When they had that moment where they expose why Hodor says Hodor. Dude, that broke my heart. That broke my heart. I didn't understand why. I didn't even think there was a reason for Hodor. I just thought he's like a Pokemon. He just says his name. You know, I thought that's what was going on, man. But instead, it was this whole thing. And, you know, and then when you see those like skeletal creatures come out the ground and they're throwing fireballs and shit, I was like, oh, yes. Finally, we get to the weird magic shit. Like, if there's dragons... Yeah. There's skeletons too, man. That show is definitely it's number one. Well, actually, it's number two. I said it in a previous episode. My number one is Breaking Bad, and then after that, it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I like Breaking Bad too, but I like Dragon.
I like Dragon's fuck, yeah, a lot man. More than I do. Absolutely.
Narcos. I like Narcos so much.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Narcos is...
Narcos is so good.
If you go to my page, I got these friends that are Photoshoppers, and I've already been Photoshopped as Jon Snow. I've also been Photoshopped as Pablo Escobar. So this is my wheelhouse right here, man. I finished... Did you finish Mexico? Narcos Mexico?
Yeah, dude. I finished like the first 3 days.
Wow.
So good.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but what I will say is Felix is not as likable as Pablo. Because Pablo was like shown to be like he loved his wife and he loved his kids. And Felix is just a cold motherfucker, bro.
Yeah,
but that show is
my favorite character is Dom Neto though. He's fucking funny.
He is great. Ah, man, yeah, I don't want to spoil
it. Reminds me of like my brother or my dad.
Yeah, he's a cool character. What's your ethnicity?
I'm Mexican.
You're Mexican?
Parents,
okay.
My brother, my whole family's from Mexico. Just me and my sister were born here in Austin.
Okay, so watching Narcos Mexico, was that super crazy?
Yeah, dude, it was super dope. I loved it.
Did your father see it?
Nah, he hasn't seen it yet. He likes watching novellas, his Mexican
novellas
stuff.
Yeah, novellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife is a Peruvian, and I'm half Uruguayan, but you know, there's no show for us yet. You know what I mean? There's no show for the corruption of the 80s. But yeah, man, those Netflix is crushing it, man. Netflix, it's a little bit over flooded at this point where there's all kinds of crap, but you know, those good shows, there's a couple of bangers out there that I think after this episode, I'm going up to finish watching. I rewatched the original Narcos, like the first three seasons with.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch it because I kind of just like.
It's so
I got into Narcos when season three was already coming out. So I rushed through those first two seasons.
Yeah, there's references. They mention names from Narcos Mexico and all that other stuff. But
Yeah, I got to get back in it.
So, you know, I don't want to keep you too long. Where can everybody find you? What's going on? You know, where can we find your online course? Where can we find your workout videos, your Instagram tags, all that, or your handles?
Yeah, you can go to ericleja.com. That's my website. I have my program, my new kettlebell program launching for the new year. A kettlebell course is on there already, so you can get your technique down first. And I also offer a subscription for like $10 a month. Or you can get 12 new workouts a month, and they're programmed for a whole month's worth. So you do the same 12 workouts in a certain order. I like to program it, so you get pretty much a new workout every day that's super effective. So you can get that for $10 a month. Or you can find me on Instagram at primal.soldier if you want to just check out my Instagram videos. And I'm in Austin, Texas at Hunt Gym if you guys ever want to come visit. Or if you go to my website, also. I'm traveling around doing workshops if you want to do something in person. So hit me up, ericleja.com.
For the online course, what kettlebell do you recommend?
I recommend something light, moderate, like a 16 kilo, 20 kilo kettlebell, 35 or 45 pound kettlebell.
Okay.
That's pretty much all you need. You know, if you're really, really getting started with any type of training, maybe a 25 pound would be good for you. But you know,
right.
A little set of kettlebells would be good, like a 25, 35, 45.
Oh,
be plenty good.
Before we let you go, I did want to ask, have you ever done any kettlebell workouts with Rogan?
No, hopefully not, man. Hopefully soon.
It's got to happen.
Get him back over here.
It's got to happen.
It'll happen.
I know he follows you. He watches you. He's talked about you before.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so maybe one day he's ever back in Austin. I'll try to hit him up.
Maybe. All right, Eric. Well, I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks. I appreciate it, man. This is fun. Do it again sometime.
All right, brother. I'm going to let you go, and you know, I'll upload these probably tomorrow, and I'll give you a shout-out when I do it.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, hit me up.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
Thanks a lot, David. You too, man. Later.
Oh, guys, I know you know. I know you know. That Skype, man, that was fucking rough. But it's like, what do? You know what I mean? I don't get an opportunity to talk to somebody like that. Oh, jeez. Mikey shouted me out. I don't get an opportunity to talk to somebody like that all the time. And it's like, you know, it's good for a second and then it's bad and then it's good for a second. And you're 10 minutes in and you're going, what do? Do you fucking go, hey man, listen, let's turn this off. I mean, it took a while for me to make that happen. We've been talking for a couple of weeks, I think at this point, maybe a couple of weeks. And, man, I really didn't want to let that go. I mean, I'm glad that the second half of it was pretty good. But there was just moments there where I was, my ass was bleeding. I couldn't, it was so much. I don't know why it was like that. I felt bad even asking him, like, hey man, are you moving around? What's going on over there? So I don't know, man. But I'm still happy with it. I'm glad that he took the time to do that. That was another thing too. It was like, why, look at this, unable to connect. Did this shit disconnect at some point? Oh my God. I'm going to fucking kill myself. You know, when a guy like that takes time out of his unbelievably busy schedule to sit down and talk to you, you know, when you're just starting out in this is incredibly valuable. And it was, I mean, like I said, I've been watching that dude for years and years and years, so it was an honor to have him on the show. I just felt so bad. I felt so bad. What are you going to do, man? It's out there. There's no edits on this show. It is what it is. It is what it is. You know what's dope? My Christmas tree. That's what's dope. You see that up there? That's a Fancy Feast 2009. That's an award for my cat. It was right on the top of my Christmas tree. My very own Where I Belong Christmas tree. All in all, though, I think it was good. Eric's an awesome guy. You know, go check him out. Primal.Swolger at Instagram. And, you know, check out his online course. I'm thinking I might look into it. I got a couple of kettlebells. Maybe I could use that to get back in shape before summer rolls around. I'm not in bad shape, but, you know, it's like the holidays. I still got to make it through Christmas. And then I got New Year's. I'm going to be drinking and everything. So I'm not out of the woods yet. Maybe I'll start doing some kettlebell chucking. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for watching Where I Belong. I'm your host, David Corbo, the Frog King. You could head over to iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Just type in Where I Belong. You'll find me over there. When you're there, you know, drop a like, drop a rating, a subscription, a review, you know, comment. All that interaction helps me. I know there's some algorithms somewhere that are watching me to see whether or not I've got interaction. So any interaction is good interaction, unless you're giving me bad reviews, in which case, get the fuck out of here. And if you tell me about the first half of this podcast being hard to listen to because of the Skype, I know, man. I know. Find me on Instagram at Where I Belong Podcast. Find me at Twitter at Where I Belong P. I didn't make that, Where I Belong P. I cannot for the life of me figure out how to change that. Find me on Facebook at Where I Belong. And, you know, when everything's said and done, head over to www.whereibelongpodcast.com. All my stuff is there. It's an awesome website that my boy Chase helped me set up or basically set up for me. He's a fucking sweetheart of a man. He's actually doing an episode right now with Mikey Klein of One by One. This is two buddies of mine in a different part of the world somewhere doing a podcast right now or in 10 minutes or right now. So yeah, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, Where I Belong, podcast.com. Head over to those places. Do nice things for me. Make me feel good. All right. So thank you for listening to this episode. Sorry about the audio, but it is what it is. Can't go back. It's in the books. We move forward. I'm happy for what it was. I'm happy that Eric took the time out to talk to me. Head over to his Instagram, head over and check out his online course. And maybe if you're in Austin and you're listening to this, go over to the Onnit Academy and tell Eric that Dave Corbo sent you. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I love you. And until Wednesday, peace out.